Thanks, Keith. So we had an excellent talk on Numa Systems, and I will back up on that. So current multi-core machines are Numa, but for this talk, I will not go into details of memory controllers and stuff like that. All you need to know is that a core can either access memory locally or remotely, and when it accesses memory remotely, it uses an interconnect link. And interconnect links can also be used to transfer data between cores when they communicate. So this talk will be purely and entirely about interconnect links. Interconnect links have not been studied a lot by the research committee, and I will show in this talk that they actually matter a lot and that they have strange properties. So let's execute an application on a Numa machine. This is a picture of a 16-core machine we have in our lab. It's an AMD Opteron machine, so nothing too fancy. And I run StreamCluster, an application of the Parsec benchmark suite, on two nodes, node 0 and node 1. And it runs in 150 seconds. Then I run the exact same application, but on node 0 and 3. And this time it executes in almost 300 seconds, so twice as much. And that's a bit weird because when you look at the figure I presented and when you look at the official documentation on the machine, everything seems to be well interconnected. We have an interconnect link between all nodes. So there should be no reason for that. But actually, when you go a bit further and into details, you can see that some interconnect links actually transfer data at a maximum bandwidth of 6 gigabytes per second, while other links transfer data at a maximum of 3 gigabytes per second. And as far as we know, this has never been reported in any research paper, so that's a new finding. And you might say that, this might be very specific to one machine, but we looked at all the machines we have in our lab, and all machines present some kind of asymmetry that way. And in fact, modern machines are even more complex. So in our lab, we have a 64-core machine, and bear with me, it's a bit scarier, but I will explain that. So it has 64 cores and 8 nodes. The interconnect is a bit messier, and especially it doesn't have some nodes do not communicate directly. So for instance, when node 0 wants to communicate to node 7, it has to route its request via node 6. So far, nothing too weird. This has been well studied and well understood by the research committee. But on top of that, the machine also has fast links and slow links. Okay. But it also has links that are only fast in one direction, which is a bit weirder. So what that means is that node 2 can push data at 4 gigabytes per second to node 0, but node 0 can only push data at 3 gigabytes per second to node 2. So you have a discrepancy in read and write bandwidth. And that's a bit more unexpected. By the way, this is an AMD Bulldozer machine, so again, nothing too fancy. And the AMD folks decided it was not enough. So they also added some unidirectional links. And that's even weirder because it means that when Node7 writes to Node3, it's very fast and it has a high bandwidth. But when Node3 wants to answer, it has to use an indirect route, and so higher latency and lower bandwidth. Well, so that might seem a bit abstract for some of you, so let's see what it means in practice. And let's run StreamCluster on two nodes of this machine. We have three obvious choices. These are three nodes that are directly connected. So node 0 and 1 has a fast link. Node 0 and 4 has a slow link, but a direct link. And node 0 and 2 has a link that is fast in one direction and slow in another direction. But on top of that, we also have a lot more configurations, a lot more possible configurations that use router nodes. And the common knowledge is that these configurations are bad, and you should avoid them. So let's see what what the real performance are on this configuration. So again, I run Stream Cluster, and here are the performance. Stream Cluster is not perfectly symmetric. There is a master thread that does things a bit differently. So I report the performance depending on which node the master threads execute on. And as you can see, when Stream Cluster runs on node 0 and 4, so with a slow link, it executes in 228 seconds. And when it runs on node 0 and 3, which are supposed to be bad, it actually can run in 1 and 85 seconds, which is surprising. And so our claim in the paper and our new finding is that actually bandwidth is more important than latency on these machines. And that when you try to improve performance, you should try to maximize the bandwidth between threads that communicate. And well, the number of hops you have in your NUMA machine is not that important. Bandwidth matters most. And that goes against all common knowledge. And so that's why current optimizations do not really target that. They try to avoid two hops. Linux, for instance, tries to still work on nodes that are close. And they try to maximize the input-output throughput, but that is not relevant to our work. So that's why we had to design a new solution, and we call it AsymSced, and it's the first asymmetry-aware scheduler. The simple goal of AsymSced is to maximize bandwidth between threads that communicate, and that's it. So in the remaining of the talk, I will present AsymSced and I will evaluate it. So AsymSced relies on two main techniques, thread migration and memory migration. We had an excellent talk about memory migration and its impact in the previous talk, so I will not talk a lot about it, and I will focus on thread migration. And the goal of thread migration is purely to place threads that communicate on well-connected nodes. To do that, we do a continuous profiling, so in background, we try to understand what's going on in the machine, and we take a decision every second on where to place threads and how to maximize bandwidth. Some of it is implemented in kernel, some in userland, and they communicate together to have good performance results. So there is three steps in AsymSced, and the first one is to find which threads actually make use of interconnect links, so which threads communicate. To do that, we try to figure out which threads access the same memory node, and if two threads access the same memory node, we cluster them together, we put them in the same bag. It might seem a bit coarse-grained to cluster by node, but it is actually a limitation of hardware counter, and well, the hardware counter basically work at the scale of node. So if we wanted to have a very low overhead, and so that was the only way we found to cluster threads. So we cluster per node, and we cluster per application. Once we have clusters, we migrate them to make use of the fast links of the machine. So if you remember correctly, the thread T1 was on the top node, top left node before, and now it's on the bottom left node, which allows him to communicate via fast link with node with thread T2. This part might seem fairly obvious, but actually it's not, because the number of placements you can have is exponential. So finding the best placement is a costly operation. I will not go into too many details, but in the paper we present how we avoid having an exponential cost, and how we do smart things to avoid that. Basically, it boils down to skipping obviously bad configurations, so we avoid links that are very, very slow, and we avoid two hops links that induce slow delays because they only use slow links. And we also avoid recomputing stuff again and again. So for instance, if you have a fast link and a deranked link, it doesn't matter the order of threads on the node. So we skip that. And we have a mechanism we explain in the paper on how to do that. So now threads are well placed on the machine and they communicate via a fast link. The only issue is that they might continue to access memories that is placed on all nodes. So they might continue to do memory accesses via slow links. And to do that, to circumvent that, we actually rely on Carrefour to bring back the memory. So Carrefour was presented in the previous talk, but basically the idea is we detect pages that are accessed dynamically and we bring these pages on the nodes that access them. So it works well for quite a lot of applications, but for some applications, Carrefour is too slow and doesn't react quickly enough. Many applications that use a lot of memory. So we have applications that use up to 30 gigabytes of RAM. And Carrefour uses the standard Linux system call, which is very, very inefficient. Linux, by default, it takes 5 seconds to migrate 1 gigabyte of RAM, which is insanely slow. So we had to circumvent that. And so we designed a new and faster memory migration system call. And the goal is to be as simple as possible and as fast as possible. So we want to avoid any race condition, and we want to purely do the job of migration. So how we do that is we freeze the application. That way we are sure that the page table of the application is not modified, so we avoid the race condition. And then we compute the list of pages to migrate. And we modify the page table of the application directly. So it's completely lockless. It's limited by the interconnect bandwidth and can migrate memory from multiple nodes in parallel. So because we are limited by interconnect bandwidth, so far it takes 0.3 seconds to migrate 1 gigabyte, so it's 17 times faster than Linux. And because we can migrate stuff in parallel, we are up to 34 times faster than Linux when we migrate from multiple nodes. So if you want the code, by the way, you can ask me and I will gladly send it to you. So with that said, let's proceed to the evaluation. So we evaluated a SIMSCAN on a lot of applications and I will go through some of them. Here I present the worst placement, the best placement, dynamic memory migration only, and a SIMSCAD. The higher is the better. And so to find the best and the worst placement, we ran the application on all possible placements. So it's quite a lot of experiments. Here, the application run on 3 nodes, and we have about 600 different configurations. So we ran the 600 different configurations and took the best and the worst one to find the first two graphs. So as you can see, on graph 5000 and SPECGBB, the placement alone has quite an impact. Then we compare against dynamic memory migration because, as you saw in the previous talk, when we do stuff like Carrefour, we can actually increase performance by a lot. So we wanted to check whether our improvement was due to that or not. And on these two applications, Carrefour is not able to do anything because the application allocates memory and freezes it almost immediately, in the case of SPECGBB at least. So Carrefour is not able to react at all. And ASIMSCAD, on the contrary, places threads on well-connected nodes. So we maximize the performance that way. The second part of the evaluation, I'll show applications for which Carrefour actually has an impact. So this time, for instance, in the case of Stream Cluster that was presented in the previous talk, Carrefour is able to improve performance by 150%. But we still have a high standard deviation. So even though we improve performance, the runtime is not very predictable. We vary between 220% and 100% improvement, which is not very good. ASIMSCAD, on the contrary, always use the best threat placement, and so the standard deviation of a SIMSCAD is very, very low. And the performance is also very good. The conclusions are the same for PCA and FaceFrack. So we also evaluated a SIMSCAD on quite a lot of applications. Here I present the NAS benchmark suite and the Metis benchmark suite, so HPC applications and MapReduce applications. And it might not look very impressive, but actually when you look at the mean difference between the worst and the best placement, it's 14%. So the placement alone impacts the applications quite a bit. So, and the performance improvement, the mean performance improvement compared to the worst placement is 14% also in this case for a SIMSCAD. So in the paper, we also evaluate a SIMSCAD on multi-application scenarios, and I will not present that into details, but basically the idea is to show that we are able to prioritize and give the best nodes, the best connectivity to the applications that actually need it and that will benefit the most from it. And it works quite well. So in conclusion, I hope you learned something new about your NUMA machine, that maybe it is not as symmetric and as nice as you thought. And I hope maybe you will take that into account when you do your experiments, because it can, as you saw, it can vary, it can change your performance by a factor of 2 or 3. And I mean, that's not nice when you run something and you don't understand what's going on. So hopefully it will help you to have more understandable results. And so we designed a SIMSCAD to circumvent that issue. And a SIMSCAD is up to 200% faster than an average placement, and up to 91% faster than Carrefour, which was the previous best thing on NUMA system. So with that, if you have any questions, I will gladly answer them.
Hi, Jinli from Tsinghua. Do you have different observations with read-intensive workload and write-intensive workload? Maybe for read-intensive workload, the latency and the number of hops is a key role.
So it's a good question. Actually, most of the workloads we have are read-intensive. And we haven't found any purely write-intensive workload that, any relevant benchmark that is really write-intensive. So if you have some, then we can test it, but yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Steve Muir, Comcast. This is interesting work. I can think of an alternative approach, which would be run the benchmarks and then go buy a different hardware platform. So that gets to the question of, do you see this sort of asymmetry as a sort of inevitable trend of NUMA system design? Are you seeing other vendors, you mentioned this is an AMD bulldozer, so I mean, this is a serious question. Do you see Intel sort of taking the same approach? Do you see this being something which, this is obviously very cool if everyone builds systems that end up this way, but if only AMD does, then AMD may find themselves just not selling a lot of 8 processor systems.
So currently Intel machines are less asymmetric. You might have some degree of asymmetry, but it impacts performance quite a bit less. I also talked with Spark people, and they claim their machine is not asymmetric, but in fact it is.
So you said with Spark people?
Spark, yeah.
Yeah, no one cares about them.
right. But I mean, they make the biggest NUMA machines currently, so, and they have some degree of asymmetry on it. So to answer your trend question, I guess it shows that because you have power and silicon constraint, so as you increase the number of nodes or the number of everything, it's harder and harder to have fast links between everything. So I guess, yeah, we will see some degree of asymmetry. Maybe not as weird as that, but at least it will be there.
Did you have benchmark results for an Intel platform?
Intel, no. We don't have any big Intel machine, so yeah.
I'm sure someone here from Intel will donate a system to you.
So Sandhya Dwarkadas, University of Rochester. I have two clarification questions. One, I'm trying to understand the Bulldozer platform, and I believe the machine you're working on is four sockets, each of them having two separate, I would call them, dies, essentially. Okay, so and then the second one is, does it have hyper-threading at all? And if so, what do you do about it?
So indeed, it is a four socket machine, and the fast links are in between a socket, but that's purely a hardware detail. I mean, it doesn't really matter if it's a socket or not. On other machines, it's not the case, and it works the same. And Bulldozer, it's not really hyper-threading. It's a bit more different, and maybe we can talk about that offline. So yeah, we use all cores. But for this work, it doesn't impact what we say. I mean, if we use them or not, it's not important.
Hi, I'm Sharanyan from University of Rochester. I have a question with your evaluation. In your evaluation, you have different workloads that you evaluate your strategy on, right? First question that I have is, do you exhaust the entire machine with threads? And if you do, how do you decide what you trade off with what? Like, something has to run on the slow machine, slow interconnects, something has to run on the fast interconnects.